This morning we're going to consider a text of Scripture in the Gospel according to John in the New Testament about when God took upon himself human flesh and walked this earth and appeared to man as he walked this earth in Israel. In John chapter 1, verses 9 through 13, a text that speaks about the incarnate Christ appearing in the world. The incarnate Christ appearing in the world. And when he came, the brilliance of his glory is described by John as this light that had never been experienced in the darkness of the sinful world before. This marvelous light. You may be familiar with this popular song written in 1947. I wandered so aimless, life filled with sin, I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Just like a blind man, I wandered along. Worries and fears I claimed for my own. Then like the blind man that God gave back his sight, praise the Lord, I saw the light. I was a fool to wander and stray, for straight is the gate and narrow the way. Now I've traded the wrong for the right. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. You may be familiar with that song written by Hank Williams in 1947. That song is actually a rendition of the biblical truth about who Jesus is, who we are, and what we can become because of who God is. All that is in that song. As 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, "For God said, a light shall shine out of the darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." That's the light that he's singing about. Jesus said himself in John 8:12, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus said that himself. "There was a day when you said, I saw the light. Praise the Lord, I saw the light." Was there a day like that for you? When you could say, "Praise the Lord, I saw the light." What you're saying is, when the light of Jesus Christ, who he is and what he has accomplished for sinners on the cross, that light of that gospel truth called you to repentance and faith in him as Savior and Lord, and it called you out of that darkness into his marvelous light. That's what 1 Peter 2:9 says. It says, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And because of that marvelous light, Colossians 1:13 states, "For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son." A lot of change going on from darkness to light, isn't there? The light of the knowledge of Christ, as he revealed himself when he came, showed us we were sinners in need of a Savior, and called us out of the darkness into his marvelous light because we were in that darkness. Now we don't walk in darkness, but we have the light of life, the Bible tells us. And we've been transferred from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of salvation. If you can say, "Praise the Lord, I saw the light," all those verses are referring to you and what happened to you. Thank God the light did shine, or we would all be in darkness forever. Aren't you thankful the light did shine? The light that shines in the darkness is the person, Jesus Christ. It is a person. His brilliant, fulgent glory of who he is. God incarnate. God became flesh and dwelt among us. Can you just imagine that? 1 John 1:5 says, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And here is God incarnate, the brilliant light of God, walking in the darkness of the sinful world. And the mere fact that God took upon himself flesh and came into this world, made in the likeness of man, and being found in appearance as a man, tells us there must have been a reason why God would do that, right? I mean, we can talk about, oh, he came, but there must be a reason why he came. There must be a reason why this brilliant glory of Christ came into this dark world. There's a reason for that. God as man, God incarnate, came incarnate in the person of Jesus Christ into the world of darkness. He actually walked in the domain of darkness, and of course, the demons scattered and went bizarre. He came here for a reason. Matthew 4:16 says, the people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light. And those who were sitting in the land in a shadow of death, upon them the light dawned. That's the incarnate Christ appearing in the world. A great light dawned in this darkness, people sitting in the shadow of death. There was for a reason. And Jesus said, I have come as light into the world so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. John 14:6. God did not want us to stay in darkness. We were in darkness. The whole world was full of darkness. But he didn't want us to stay there. So he came. Without Jesus coming into the darkness of this world, there would be no light to see. There would be no light to see. But not only do you have to see the light, but you have to know who that great light is. As 1 John 5:20 states, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Something about seeing the light and then knowing who that light is and having the knowledge of that light, the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that we have this understanding. We have to have it. If we're going to be delivered from the domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of his dear Son, you must see the light and you must know who that light is. You must know that what you're seeing is Jesus Christ, God incarnate. And you must know that in a saving way, and he must know you in a saving way. Because the light is shining on who? You. There are those that have the truth of the light of Christ shining on their lives, and they know about Jesus, but Jesus doesn't know them in an intimate, saving way. They know about Jesus. The light is shined upon them. The guilt of sin overwhelms them, and he's calling them out of the darkness into the light, and they know all that, but they remain in the darkness. Jesus said in the end of the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 7:22-23, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, saying that, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now, did he know them? Of course he did. Because he said, I know that you practice lawlessness, so he knows who they are. But he said, I don't know you in a saving, intimate way, although you've used my name. Seeing the light, being called out of the darkness into the marvelous light, is to know who the light is. And him knowing you in a saving relationship way, this is very important. That's receiving the light. That's not turning away from the light. That's believing in his name as Savior and Lord, as the true light. As you know, the light still shines. He's resurrected. He's ascended to heaven. But the light still shines in the darkness of this world 2,000 years later. It still shines. How does it shine? Well, it shines through the scriptures. It shines through the gospel message. It shines through the witness of those who have come out of darkness into his marvelous light and know him and tell other people about him. So the light still shines. We're a reflective light. We're like the moon. It reflects the sun. The light of Christ is still shining. But can you imagine when the light walked this earth when he came? Can you imagine that he was here walking? And there were those who beheld his glory? Well, the Apostle John was one such person. The Apostle John was one such person. He actually writes in his epistle, 1 John 1:1, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our own eyes, what we beheld and our hands have actually handled concerning the word of life, we proclaim this to you. And then verse 2, and the life was manifest, that's incarnate. And we have seen and bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifest to us. Wow. John's seen that. When God actually walked this earth, people saw him, and the Apostle John was one such person, and he wrote about it. The Apostle John is talking about the incarnation, when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He says that in this gospel that we're looking at in verse 14. He could truly sing. I think the Apostle John could truly sing, "Praise the Lord, I saw the light." Literally, he saw the light. And he wrote about it in his gospel, about the literal, factual, historical life of Christ, being an eyewitness, apostle of the light he saw. He said, "Let me tell you what I saw. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Let me tell you about what I saw." And we have been considering that in John's gospel, his introduction of the life and light he witnessed when God walked this earth as the God-man, Jesus Christ. We've been working our way through his prologue, his introduction, and we're looking more closely to a seemingly parenthetical portion of his prologue, verses 9 through 13, that I kind of introduced last Sunday, explaining the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it, of verse 5. We were introduced to a person by John the Apostle. We were introduced to John the Baptist in this prologue. As he came, sent from God to bear witness of the light, John came to bear witness of this light, verse 6, that all might believe in his witness about the light, verses 7 and 8. So people personally and individually could believe in the light that he bore witness about. That was one way the light of Christ shined in the darkness, through his witness. And I believe that's kind of what the flow of John's thought here. But John was not the light, he says in verse 8. He was only a witness of the light. The true light, the light of everything in verses 9 through 13 is about Christ that John was witnessing about. John the Baptist was specifically sent from God that he might bear witness of the light, that all might believe in the light. And that should tell you something about God if you read that. There was a man sent from God. That should tell you something about God. God wanted people to see the light. Doesn't that make sense? If God sent a man to bear witness to the light, he must want people to see the light. That should tell you something about people. People needed to see the light. If God sent a man so they could bear witness to the light, that means God sent people so they could see this light. They needed to see the light. He wanted people to see the light. Why do you want them to see the light? Because they were in darkness. They were in darkness. That should also tell you something about people who actually did see the light as John did, that they may believe in the light, because once they did not believe. But then the light shined in their darkness, and then they believed. They believed in the light, who is God incarnate, Christ Jesus. That's what they believed. That's the light they saw, God incarnate. So people needed to see the light, so God sent a man so they could see the light. This tells you about people that needed to see the light because they were in darkness. But some of those people in darkness did see the light, and they became believers. The mere fact that the light of Christ shines in the darkness of this world shows us when he came who he is, that he's the Christ, God incarnate, shows us who we are, that we were sinners in need of seeing that light because we are in darkness, shows us who we can become, believers, because at one time we were not, and shows us who God is. That's what's going to happen in this passage. It seems when you share the gospel, I thought about this, today, and you bear witness of the light, you're showing people who Jesus is. This is Jesus. This is the Messiah. This is God incarnate. This is the guy who died on the cross for your sins. You're showing them who Jesus is, why he died on the cross, because they're sinners. So you're telling them something about them. He tells them something about who they are so that people will believe, so that they can be saved. That tells us something about God, that God is a saving God. God is a saving God. That's the gospel. And we get that right here in John's gospel in verses 9 through 13. Let's look at it together as I read this passage of scripture, and then we'll try to unpack it together. There was the true light which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world. The world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. This is a heavy theological part of this prologue, and I'm going to try to unpack it for you. Verse 9 explains something about John the Baptist's ministry of bearing witness of the light. He said in verse 8, John wasn't the true light, but there was the true light, and John came to bear witness. That's the light that he came to bear witness about, the true light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God used John to shine the light in the darkness by proclaiming the Messiah's arrival. That's what John did. He came and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And he pointed to him. That was part of John's ministry. The gospel truth, that light that points to and shines in the darkness of this world, is for every man to behold. It is for every man to behold, verse 9 says. Christ incarnate is for every man to behold. The gospel message is for every one. Everyone. When God walked this earth in a human body, God incarnate, as Jesus of Nazareth, what he said, what he did, and what he promised to those sitting in darkness who saw the great light, Christ was not hid from anyone. He wasn't hid from anyone. You couldn't miss this brilliant light. You just couldn't miss it. If you're in a dark room and somebody walks in with this 3,000-watt brilliant light and shines it, you can't help but see that light. Although it may be blinding, you may turn from it and run from it, you can't help but see it. If mankind is going to go beyond creation, that tells us something about God. And creation does. It tells us there's a creator, there's a sustainer, there's a designer. But if we're going to go beyond creation to know more about God, and if we're going to go beyond conscience, that tells us that we're accountable to this creator, and our very conscience brings guilt when we sin, and we cringe because we know that there's a creator. We can't deny that just looking at creation. And what people want to try to invent everything they can, evolution, everything else, is so they don't have to be accountable to this creator because of their sin. But if we're going to go beyond creation and conscience, then you're going to have illumination that goes beyond creation and conscience to be saved from their accountability to the creator for their sins. Creation and conscience only exposes our sins, like the law. There's a creator, and I'm a sinner, and I'm accountable to my creator, I'm in bad shape. I need a savior. That's the purpose of creation and conscience, like the law. When you break the law, you're accountable to the creator. You're accountable for that now. But creation, as wonderful as it is, and conscience, as needful it is, doesn't tell us how to be saved. It just tells us you're a sinner and you're accountable to your creator, and leaves you wondering how you're ever going to be delivered from this. That's why God gave a special revelation especially in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, God incarnate, shows us how to be saved. Shows us how to be saved. That is by him. The how is a person. How do we be saved? Well, here's the light. Here's a person. This is how you are saved. By the person and work of Jesus Christ. That person and work of Jesus Christ is the illuminating light that shows us the way to be saved. Jesus said himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. If any man, and I'm still in verse 9 now, if any man, every man that is going to be saved, then it will only be because the illuminating light of Christ shined in their darkness. Does that make sense? If anyone who's ever going to be saved, it's going to be by the illuminating light of Christ that shined in their darkness. Because God gave us special revelation of how to be saved. Who it is that is our Savior. That light shined. And it was prophesied in the Old Testament that a deliverer would come. A promised one would come. But then he came and revealed himself as God incarnate. And it was like a great spotlight just shined on the whole world. Kind of like turning a light on. We lived in Hawaii. You turn a light on in the kitchen late at night and you see the cockroaches run. They're okay in the darkness, but as soon as you turn a light on, yikes! That's what it was like when God walked this earth. Magnificent light. And the scriptures of the New Testament record this special revelation in written form, and that's what we're reading here in John's Gospel about this illuminating light of salvation in Jesus Christ. So when John writes in verse 9, there was the true light which coming into the world enlightens every man, this illumination that enlightens every man, it shows us who Jesus is. That's the point of the light. So you can see. You're in darkness, you can't see. I mean, just dark, dark, dark. The other night, our power went out, and it was so dark in our room. I kept waiting for my eyes to be adjusted so I could see, and it was just so dark. I said, Kathy, it's really dark in here, isn't it? Dark, dark, dark. But when the light shines, and what John's talking about, when this light came, it showed us, first and foremost, who Jesus is. There was the true light coming into the world. That would be point number one, by the way. The light of Christ shines in the darkness of this world, shows us who Jesus is, shows us who our Savior is. That's the purpose of the light. Shows us who Jesus is. Who is this brilliant light? What is this light I'm looking at? It's Christ. And it shows us who our Savior is. Isn't it wonderful that God gave us this light so that we could see? He was not just Jesus of Nazareth, but he was one God incarnate, the God-man. And he was two, God coming into the world. That's who Jesus is. God incarnate coming into this world. That's what the light shows us. That's what John is saying here. There was a true light. Well, who's that? That's the Word. That was God that made everything. It was the source of light and life. And he shined in the darkness. And even sent a herald of his arrival. And then he came. And he is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he did, the illumination of that light enlightened every man shining in the darkness. The light wasn't hid from anyone. It wasn't hid from anyone. He came as a Savior. I think of that, when I look at that, I think about the parable of the lady who lost her coins. You know, Jesus told three parables all in a row, and they all had the same main point, that which was lost was found, and there should be rejoicing instead of the Pharisees grumbling. In Luke 15, it talks about this woman losing her 10 silver coins. It says in Luke 15, or what woman, if she has 10 silver coins and loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it. And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which I had lost. The same way I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Jesus is telling a parable about people being saved. He uses this parable of this lady who lost some coins, who takes this candle and lights it and gets down on the floor in the dirt, looking through the cracks, looking in the dark shadows, trying to find her coins. That's exactly what the Lord did when he came here. He got down among the dirt, looking deep in the cracks, in the shadows, to shine his light to find us so we could see him. Light's a lamp. That's what our Savior did. What a Savior. He shined the light of who he is in that darkness. Notice verses 10 and 11 now. He was in the world. The world was made through him. The world did not know him. He came to his own. Those who were his own did not receive him. When it says that he was in the world and the world was made by him and he came into his own, that's clearly referring to the incarnation. That's clearly referring to when he walked this earth. Okay? Here is the light of Christ shining in the darkness of this world. And it tells us something about the world when he came, doesn't it? It tells us something about the darkness when he came. Here is God walking among fallen, sinful human beings. And his light exposed us. His light exposed them. People in darkness, in the shadow of death, a great light had dawned upon them. God came into the world he created, but since Genesis 3, it was a fallen world. It was a world in darkness and sin, full of sinners and depraved people and demons. Actually, Satan's domain, sinners. He came into this world. He was in the world. The world was made through him. The world did not know him. He came to his own. His own, those who were his own did not receive him. That tells us something about people that were in the darkness. Ephesians 2:1 says, you were dead in trespasses and sins, and you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that would be Satan, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. That's what we all were. Verse 3 says that we all formerly walked like this, and Paul even includes himself. This is the condition of every person before they're saved. This is darkness. Dead in trespasses and sins. Walking according to the course of this world. Walking according to the prince and power of the air. A spirit that working in the children of disobedience. This is where he came. And exposed, the light exposed that truth. As 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, in whose case the god of this world, that would be Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to shield that light, put something up so you don't see that light, try to blind the eyes. And everyone who has their minds blinded are unbelievers. And you'll stay that way until you see the light of the glory of Christ, and who is the image of God. When Christ came into the world that he made, it was a fallen, dark world ruled by the god of this world, the prince and power of the air, the spirit working in the sons of disobedience. This is where he came, and he came to take over. Jesus came into a dark world of sinners. He came, and the world knew he came. They couldn't deny he came. They understood a man was teaching, that this man was healing. He's raising people from the dead, doing miracles, making promises of eternal life. But they didn't know who he was. They just wanted to kill him. They didn't know him. They didn't know who he really was. They kept saying, who is this man? He even came as a promised, prophesied Messiah to the Jews. And he called them to repentance. And if the Jews would have repented, he would have inaugurated his kingdom right then. But they wouldn't repent. So he postponed that kingdom to an unspecified time. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. They said, no way. We're rejecting you as the Messiah. So that kingdom was postponed. They rejected him and despised him and only wanted to kill him. They did not receive him as their Savior and Messiah, which much of John's gospel is going to be about. Why? Why? Because they were depraved sinners, enslaved to their sin nature, in darkness, and watch this, loving their darkness. Men love their sin. They love their darkness. That's what John 3:19 says. This is the judgment that light has come into the world. And he did, right? He came in there and exposed everyone as sinners. And it says, and men love the darkness rather than the light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. Men love darkness. That's why. Point number two would be the light of Christ shines in the darkness of this world, shows us who sinners are. Shows us who the sinners are. Tells us all about us. Tells us all about humanity and humankind. It says there, those who do not know him. Those are sinners. Those who do not receive him. You know, want to know who the unrepentant sinners are? You want to know who turn from the light and say, I love my darkness? Those who do not receive him. And those who do not know him. That's what it says right there. And the world did not know him, the one that he made, came into. And he actually came to his own people, the Jews, to inaugurate his millennial kingdom, and they wouldn't receive him. Unrepentant sinners. How do we know that? Because the light came and exposed it. That's how. It showed us who the sinners were. But the illumination of Christ's light was not overpowered by the darkness. Light always overpowers the darkness. Darkness doesn't overpower the light. Christ dispelled the darkness as light dispels darkness. Notice verse 12. This is a great verse. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. This is a great verse. And it tells us that Christ's illuminating light of who he is shines, and many saw the light. And many saw the light. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Many saw it. You know what they say? Praise the Lord, I saw the light. This verse in John's prologue tells us something about many. Tells us something about many. This will be point number three. The light of Christ shines in the darkness of this world, shows us who the believers are, doesn't it? Shows us who the believers are. Puts a spotlight on who the believers are. Puts a spotlight on who he is. Puts a spotlight on who the sinners are. It puts a spotlight on who the believers are. Shows us who we can become. Shows us who we can become. From darkness to light. From death to life. From sin to salvation. From fallenness to forgiveness. From a child of disobedience to a child of God. Isn't that wonderful? How do we know that? Well, the light shines and shows us who the believers are. That's how we know. When Christ shines his light in the darkness, many come out of the darkness and are called into his marvelous light. Isn't that wonderful? The person of Christ shows us who the true believers are. Who are the true believers when the light shines? It says those who received him, those who embraced him. They didn't reject him. They didn't despise him. They embraced him. They followed him. They received him. Those who believed in him, it says. Those who believed in him, in his name. They believed in him as God incarnate. They believed in him as the Son of God, the only Savior. They believed in his name. They believed him as Lord. That's his name. The Lord Jesus Christ. They believed he was the Lamb of God that could take away the sin of the world. When he came and the light shined, many turned to him for forgiveness and repentance and faith and embraced him, submitted to him, believed in him. How do we know that? Because the light shined and exposed that they were believers. That's what John is telling us. How do we know who the believers are and how they become children of God? How? He says that they may have the right to become the children of God. How do we know that? Well, John says, the answer is they received him. They submitted to him. They know him. They believe in him for the forgiveness of sins. But the identifying mark, and this is so important, the identifying mark is the spiritual birth they have experienced. That's the identifying mark. We're not talking about a physical birth. The right to become a child of God, it says there, is given by Christ. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. He gave the right. Those who received / believed, meaning the same thing. One is describing the other. To them he gave the right, the authority, to take that name, that status, that title, child of God. I can say I am a child of God. By whose authority? By Jesus Christ's authority. By Jesus Christ's authority. Why would he give you the authority to take that name? Because I'm born of God. What? I'm born of God. How do you know that? Because I believe and receive in his name as Savior and Lord. That's how I know I'm born of God. That's the only explanation. And that's the explanation that John has given us. And that is not just something you say. That is something you experience when you're born again. That's something you experience. You don't just say I'm born again. You don't say I'm a believer. You don't just say I received him. That's something you experience. That's a change of your creative makeup. Only a born again believer can say he's a child of God. There must be a born of God moment. There must be a regenerating miracle to become a child of God. Nobody can birth themselves, spiritually birth themselves, which tells us something about God now, right? Notice verse 13. Who were born, notice this, this is past tense. This is past tense. That first phrase, who were born. So that means this already took place, and it's describing the ones who received and believed him. Past tense. Many received him. To them he gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Really, how'd that happen? Well, they were born. These are the ones who were born. Not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. He's describing a spiritual birth that preceded their believing and receiving. Who were born. Regeneration, spiritual birth, born from above, born again, has nothing to do with race, heritage, color, ethnic affiliation. It doesn't matter what kind of blood is running through your veins. And this would have been a blow to the Jews, by the way. It doesn't matter how powerful you think your flesh is to achieve this right. You can't work your way to heaven. You can't do enough good deeds. You can't produce. It's not based on human achievement. It doesn't matter how powerful you think your will is. You can will to be a millionaire. You gonna be a millionaire? You can will to never get sick. Are you gonna never get sick? You can will to jump to the moon. Let's see how far you get when you jump. You can will to never die. See, your will is very limited. Your will cannot accomplish a spiritual birth. Only God can. And only God can give the right to become something you were not. Only God can do that. Which tells us more about God, doesn't it? That would be point number four, my last point. The light of Christ shines in the darkness of this world and shows us God's love and power. God's love and power. Why would he even come here? Why would he come into the darkness full of sinners so he can make children of God out of them? He must really love us to do that, right? And he has the power to change our creative makeup and birth us by regeneration into the family of God. That takes power. That tells us something about who God is. Because out of love, it says he gave the right. He gave it. It wasn't earned. It wasn't even deserved. It was by grace. 1 John 4:9 says, by this the love of God was manifest in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. Isn't that wonderful? That is why the true light came into the world. His light shines in the darkness to give life. I told you this was the heaviest theological part of this prologue. And I think we're almost through. The rest was going to be a little more easier to explain. But the incarnation brought light to the world of darkness out of God's love and mercy to blind sinners to miraculously open their eyes to see who Jesus really is. And it illuminates who the believers are, and it also illuminates those who are still sitting in darkness, in the shadow of death. It illuminates who the sinners are, the ones that won't repent and believe. Anyways, that's what John is saying here in verses 9 through 13, in that brief explanation I just gave you of the incarnate Christ appearing in the world. Amen? Let me give you a couple quick concluding thoughts. In Romans 2:19, and if you notice, I use a lot of scripture. I use a lot of scripture to explain scripture, because scripture explains scripture. And I needed help explaining all that to you, so I use a lot of scripture to help explain that to you. And I thought I would leave you with more scripture that even explains even further, better than my concluding thoughts might be, and that would be Romans 2:19. And it says, "You yourselves are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness." That's who you are. You are a guide to the blind. You take them and you turn their heads to the light and say, look at who Jesus is. Look at who you are. Look at who you can become because of who God is. That's what you do. Or Ephesians 5:8. It says you were formerly darkness. That's what you were, formerly darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. So walk as children of the light. Let your light so shine among them that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Be a reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And lastly, Acts 26:18. Paul is rehearsing what Jesus said to him when he was on the road to Damascus. And he said, I'm sending you, verse 17, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the domain of Satan to God, in order that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. That's us. That's the church. God sent us. Amen. Father, thank you again for your holy word. And thank you that it has such power, such sanctifying power, such illuminating power, that in it we can see Christ. And it reveals to us who he is in all his glory. And we're so thankful, Lord, that you came here and gave yourself on the cross to die for our sins because we were wretched sinners. And you did that so we could become believers. Oh, how much you must have loved us. How could you love us? How could you do that? We were so undeserving. So we can only thank you for your grace and thank you for your mercy and thank you for the peace that we have now with you, knowing there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, knowing that we have spiritual life now and eternal life even in us because your spirit dwells within us, and that we'll see you face to face one day and live with you for eternity because of this magnanimous light that came into the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. We love you, Lord. Be pleased to bless your people for their faithfulness. May this stir our hearts. May it challenge us. May it bolster our faith. May it bring comfort to where comfort is needed, correction where correction is needed, direction. Grant us wisdom from your holy word, I pray, in Jesus' holy name. Amen.